This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We are here to chronicle a sad football Sunday. Cruddy games, but Chris Cody had his first gambling week winnings this week. Entertainment purposes only. Mike Ryan has been accused by Stugatz of being cocainey because his Browns play tonight. We are not a show that does very much in the way of reporting about football, but Mike Ryan went to one of those sad Sunday games, Jags-Titans. We will get some on-the-ground information from Mike Ryan reporting. It's as close as we get to journalism around here these days. But we begin with Billy's fears. Christmas is approaching. Billy's got a lot of issues with gifts. He is not experiencing this as a loving time filled with holiday mirth. He is experiencing this as, who do I buy what? We're in a pandemic. I haven't bought any gifts yet. It's approaching like a million buffalo. Billy, tell us your thoughts here as we head. We're 11 days from Christmas.
Yeah, Dan. And I haven't done a ton of shopping yet. And I'm assuming that I'm not going to be getting together with the usual cast of characters I get together with for Christmas, right? So do I have to buy them something still, or do I not have to buy them something? Do I then have to take this something if I buy them something to the house and then they give me something in exchange? And it's kind of not really the spirit of Christmas, because maybe like I'll leave it at the door and then I'll ring the doorbell and I'll go back to the car back in the street and like wave and like, hey, there's your Merry Christmas. Ring my doorbell 20 minutes from now, and then I'll go outside and I'll get the presents, and then we'll text each other. Or do I just maybe send a picture of a text or like an e-gift card? There's just a lot going on here. Can we just not get each other presents? That's probably not the solution either, right? Because presents make things like happier, and there's kind of like a sad time for a lot of people. So maybe that would do good. And I'm also way behind on Christmas shopping, and I keep hearing about this shitmageddon that's going to be happening, and I don't want to be part of that, but things are going to be very delayed, and it's only 10 days away. There's a lot. Right,
your now. Poor mind, Billy. I mean, seriously.
I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Please show us a little more of the iceberg. And incidentally, he ain't wrong. It's weird. It's an entirely weird time. Are we supposed to be doing this stuff the same way we've done it?
Wait, what's shipping getting?
Tell us more about, shipment. Shipmageddon,
yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to be a disaster. That's what they've been predicting. Shipmageddon, get your stuff done early, which it's too late to get the stuff done early, because there will be a bountiful amount of delays on everything that you're getting. So, you know, I wouldn't even rely on Prime being there in 2 days. Prime's going to get you there like 3 weeks from now. So I think then we're headed towards a situation where we have to go to the malls, and I don't want to be going to the malls. And then, you know, if you go to the mall, you have to go to the food court, and are there still samples at the food court? I don't even know. Should I be taking samples from the food court? No. There's just, I mean, I'm telling you, tip of the iceberg.
Well, he's not wrong. Again, I will say this. Also, I love with this unknown virus, this unseen thing that's in the air and appears to be worsening all over the United States. I love how random we are with a number of different things, whether it's, you know, hey, 6 feet apart or not 5 feet. Why not seven? Just how random some of this stuff is. I love that out of nowhere, the grocery stores have thrown the buffets back out there. They've thrown, like, all of a sudden I can get olives if I scan my hand and wear this weird glove. I can reach into now what is a, Whole Foods situation and an olive bar. I couldn't do that 6 months ago.
But there's no way you're dipping your hand into that olive bar, are you? I mean, you're not doing it. Even though there's a glove, there's ways to protect yourself. You're not doing it. Please tell me. There's no way you're dipping your hand into a buffet.
It's not. It's a ladle. It's a ladle, and it is ostensibly protected. And it is it's not the salad bar. I'm not brave enough yet to do the salad bar, but because the olive bar has a situation where you're scanning your hand into a glove,
right,
I somehow feel safer, even though I'm sure I'm not. Now, before we get to Mike, and again, I think Billy's right. I don't think he's saying anything that's incorrect there.
But you're asking, do we do the holidays and Christmas the traditional way? And naturally, the answer is no. If you're responsible, you shouldn't be doing it the normal way.
But how about gift giving, though? What he's saying is that does defeat the spirit of Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa. It affects the spirit of it. If you're just leaving a box that I now have to drop on your doorstep and I have to get my gift, and I'm sanitizing the gift you gave me. It's almost easier to not do gifts.
Out of sight, out of mind. Save yourself some money this holiday season. Seriously, spend it on yourself. And here's the deal with holidays. If you have to think about who you're getting a gift for, you have to think about it. Hey, should I get this person a gift? Don't get him a gift, okay? If you think to yourself, it's a gut decision, Bill. I have to get this person a gift under any circumstance, including a pandemic. Then you get that person a gift, and you figure out how to get that gift to that person's house.
I had such a scary moment over the weekend.
Of course you did.
I was dapped up by a delivery driver because I knew the delivery driver. And here's the thing. I'm not a confrontational person. I think we would all probably agree on that. I'm not one that likes, confrontation. So I was going to visit my parents, and I said, you know what? I should probably get a mask from my car and wear a mask just to be extra safe because I went in without a mask. And in the trip out to my car to get a mask, a delivery was coming. And I happened to know the delivery driver, who then said, hey, what's up? And like gave me like a fist bump and then is like talking to me and telling me all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not wearing a mask. And neither is this person that's delivering this thing. And I know in the back of my head, this is really dangerous right now. And my mask is feet away from me as I'm by the passenger door of my car where I was going to reach in to grab my mask. But I also didn't want to be rude and be like,
no, you got to be rude there, Billy.
Listen, buddy. Yeah, I got to give me 2 seconds. Let me just put this on right in your face. And then, you know,
you got to be
rude on our merry way and talk about whatever you want.
You weren't rude. You got to be rude. I had a friend of mine I haven't seen in a long time try to hug me the other day, and I hit him in the chest with my elbow. Like, get away from
me.
No, but I was going in for like whatever whatever the dap is now. I was going in for that.
I think that's it. It's an elbow that says, get away from
me. I put a pointy elbow right in his chest. Like, I don't think, Billy, you just ate the virus. You just, with a delivery man who's going door to door without a mask.
Well, not door to door. They're doing the way I would deliver Christmas presents, where you just kind of put it down and then you walk away, and then the person discovers, hey, there's something there under. By the way, delivery people putting your doormat over something that's massive, I don't get that. You order a refrigerator and they put your doormat on top of it. People can see the refrigerator, okay? Like, we don't need to continue trying to hide things that way. I don't know if that's the protocol or why it is you keep doing that, but like, you don't need to put a doormat on top of a bicycle, okay? Like, it's too big.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Do we still need to be putting a doormat on top of gifts left at the door, even if they're too big? Yes or no? I want to get to Mike Ryan's on the ground reporting. But before I do that, I need to shame him because we were talking during the local hour and Big Suey about the evolution of the tight end position and how they just physically look different than anything you've ever seen before at the position. Travis Kelce is leading the league in receiving yards. I don't know what the hell you do with that Waller guy in Las Vegas, and there are about 10 of him roaming all of football. These giant people that defensive backs simply can't do anything with because they get stuck in their navels and in their butt cracks.
The Dolphins have one of those now. I mean,
well, but he is a bit of a Frankenstein monster, but they're all over the place. And so Mike Ryan got to talking about Joey Hanos, the beginning of that evolution here with the Miami Dolphins. Mike Ryan says he's got a song that we couldn't play locally or on Big Suey because the Beatles are litigious, and Mike Ryan says he couldn't play the song, but now he's listened to the song, and he's too ashamed to play the song because of how bad it is.
It's one of the worst things I've ever created. I'm really embarrassed by this, and I would stop short at calling Joey Hanos the start of the evolution at the position for the Miami Dolphins.
Which means we have to play.
That's right. The Joey Hanos song next.
Don Levitard.
The heck is coconut meat?
It's a piece of coconut.
Oh, like a meaty chunk of coconut. I thought like there was some like weird soy hybrid
of
thing.
Mike, you're right. Who calls it coconut meat? You're eating a coconut. That's what you're eating. A coconut.
Stugatz.
All right. I'm ready to go.
Have a piece.
It's delicious.
Give me some of that coconut meat.
Looks good. How do you like it done? Medium?
This is the Don Levitar Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they are making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more today at Progressive.com or give them a call. 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line.
To be clear, by the way, because America, the United States, are so not united and everything has been turned into politics, I simply want to be clear on the science and the masks. And as you guys listen to this, and a portion of you, I would imagine, are like, what are Billy and Dan fear-mongering about? Like, what are you talking about? Someone tries to hug you and you hit him in the chest with your elbow. Just so that you understand, I have not spent 10 months in my house so you can get me sick because you think I'm overreacting. Like, I have not spent 10 months tucked away in an insanity so that someone else who thinks I'm being too careful can hit me, poison me with their reckless.
I'm totally with both of you guys. You have spent 10 months in your house waiting for a vaccine. It has arrived. We're at the finish line. You're not going to let someone get you sick now. I mean, come on.
Well, that's exactly what I told my wife. I go, this all may have been for nothing. We may have done all of this for nothing because I forgot to wear a mask for a second.
Yes, you have. You have been working from home for a long time because we have to be tape measured apart from each other. Everyone here has been working from home for a long time. Now I'm reading, and over the course of the weekend, I read a couple of fascinating things. One out of Mexico was this mother whose daughter was murdered, going one by one, finding the killers. It was like something out of a movie. I couldn't believe what I was reading in terms of going one by one to find the killers and make sure that they were punished for what they did to her family member.
She went door to door. I mean,
basically, she sort of she would disguise herself as whatever, an information taker with relatives and stuff, to make sure that she was finding the killers.
Right.
And the other thing that I read was just the details on. I had not considered the idea that the vaccine would be so valuable that you would have to send it not just, you know, refrigerated at 97 degrees below zero, but that you would also have to protect it in a way that involved a lot of logistics and security because some people might try to steal it. And it makes sense, obviously. It's just not something that I had considered in any way. And I saw that that Dan Rather tweeted something this weekend about the idea of no matter who you are, you know, the idea, I'm going to read the quote here directly. He is saying, I don't care who you are, who you know, or how much money you have. When it comes to the vaccine, you get in line. That is certainly very nice to think of America as that kind of fair. But you're crazy. Rather, if you think athletes aren't going to get there first because we have to protect the business, if you think that the sick are going to be treated, I'm with Dan Rather. It would be the better thing and the fairer thing and the more equal thing, the just thing for everyone to get in line. But money buys you access. How much has sports been teaching you that over the course of the last 10 months?
It'd be a very long line. I mean, I don't know if that's the most efficient way to do it.
Good contribution, yeah. Stugatz. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. It would indeed be a long line for the vaccine.
Yeah.
Mike, how do you feel about this Hanos song?
Terribly.
I want to hear more because Stugatz remembers it as being good.
No, it's not. It's not. I think this is one of the first songs that I produced for the Le Batard Show. This is when we were local, and there was a guy named Joey Hanos, who I think was all ACC honorable mention. One time that was a practice squatter that came in and made a contribution. We decided to celebrate him with song.
Okay. Do you guys remember this? Before we go to this
no
song.
No one remembers this.
Hold on. Please stop protecting this because you've already informed me that the song is 2 minutes long and that you only intend to play a very short version of it because of how ashamed you are of it and because I'm over here wanting you to sink into the shame. Roy, what do you remember about Hanos? Is this going to be good or bad?
It's going to be terrible. What I remember is and this is why I believe, Mike took the Beatles' worst song and made it even worse. It was terrible.
All right. Billy, how do you remember Hanos, one of the original song works? Keep in mind, Greg Cody invented around here as the singing sports writer. He's been doing it for 20 years. Songs, ridiculous songs on ESPN radio would not exist if not for Greg Cody. He is the originator, the innovator. Billy, what do you remember about Hanos?
Like an 8 out of 14.
All right, let's do it. An 8 out of 14. Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. One of Mike's earlier works. Worse than Hey Jude, one of the Beatles' worst songs. Just 1 minute left. Where's the rest of it?
Really dug deep.
Where's the rest of it?
Dug deep.
It's 56 seconds long. You're not getting the full cut.
What do you mean?
I can take solace in the fact that literally our smallest audience, just terrestrial radio, heard that.
That's right. ESPN Plus can't get anything other than Stugat singing there, correct?
Yeah, I took everything out of program because they're litigious, them Beatles, and I can only play it once, so I'm sorry I can't play the extended version, guys.
Did you say in that song, if you leave them open, you're toast?
Yeah, it rhymed with something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 21 gadgets.
You believe he was all ACC honorable mention?
That's according to his Wikipedia, which was very new at the time.
We got funniest thing from the sports weekend coming up. We've got Stu Gatz's weekend observations, and we did our first bit of football reporting this year. Mike Ryan on the ground in Jacksonville at one of the saddest games on a sad Sunday of football.
Don Lebatard.
Like, it's hard to find somebody who spend their whole life playing basketball, being the star of their teams, and then instantly, with comfort, jumps into the role of being the dap master. Not everyone can catch it as quick, and he caught it, and he was in a good place to be a dap master all the way out. And to be a dap master, getting traded to the Lakers is like Danny Granger getting traded to the 76ers. My talents are wasted here.
Stugatz.
I feel you.
This is the Don Lebatard Show on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
We have in the next hour and a half to get to Stugatz's weekend observations. We've got to get to funniest thing from the sports weekend. There was a shoe thrown during a game that will decide college football. That was Saturday. That was something that happened before the sad football Sunday. Did anyone else experience this Sunday the way that I did? Mike had to have in Jacksonville, watching Titans Jacksonville. Like, that had to feel unbelievably sad, that particular game in that particular city.
But that's on Mike. You are asking for sadness if A, you go to that city, and B, no, go to the football game.
No, but Stugatz,
in that city.
I found the early games yesterday were stink. Like, I wasn't interested in any of that. I don't want to see Arizona beat Daniel Jones by 17 points and making Kyler Murray uninteresting.
I enjoyed Dolphins Chiefs. I thought that was a fun little game there.
I actually really enjoyed the game experience. Now, do you know if this game actually happened? Because I doubt the Red Zone went to it at all, outside of like one Derrick Henry run.
No, they had a couple of Derrick Henry runs because he had like 200 yards. We'll get to all of that in a second. Put it on the poll, Billy. Did you experience NFL Sunday this week as sad? Yes or no? I know someone who didn't, though.
No.
Oh, man.
No.
Chris
no.
Cody is crushed. Billy is crushed because the Bills are going to win that division. The Bills are legitimately good. The Bills quarterback is totally unstoppable if you don't get pressure on him. Like, if his numbers without pressure are crazy. Like everyone else, you put pressure on him, you're going to change those numbers and make him more reckless. But when he doesn't get pressure, he's amazing.
They now have a chance at the conference, I guess, right?
An outside chance.
Yeah,
very outside.
Yeah.
Shout out Ken Dorsey. Did a great job with Cam Newton, and now fixing Josh Allen.
The idea that the Bills are atop that division, and yesterday, it's a little bit unfair, right, what we're doing with the measurements in this sport, because that's not the same Pittsburgh team that started 11-0. That defense is missing a lot of players, a lot of important players because of COVID, and the defense doesn't look quite the same as it did. It's not just attrition, which affects the end of any football season. It's attrition combined with this particular virus during this time. Regardless.
Win's a win, Dan.
Chris, that's right. A win is a win. Christine Lacy, did you come into work swaggering and strutting today? We'll talk to her about that after the kazoos.
And finally, a recent study found that venting your anger online only makes you angrier. So, Mike, stay off those Miami Hurricanes message boards.
Yes. Mike, you got caught with some shrapnel over there. It's usually just dedicated to me and Stugatz. She leaves the shipping container alone. Christine, how buoyant were you? Were you a champagne bottle opening this morning when you somersaulted out of bed? Because you are not only the first place Bills, but Jim Kelly is saying flatly, this is going to be the guy who breaks all my Bills records.
that it was a good day. I brought in my victory cookies to work. It's all good.
Oh, wow. victory cookies. What are the victory cookies today? What did you bake?
They're sugar cookies, like cutout cookies, but I can't decorate, so I usually just make them sandwich cookies, and I put the frosting in the middle. So you get two cookies for one treat.
Sandwich cookies? Like, shit, you kidding me? That put it on so the poll, Guillermo. Do sandwich cookies sound delicious to you? She's going to be buoyant and giggling all day today because her team is good, and Jim Kelly is out here saying that guy is going to break all of my records. All right, Mike, what'd you learn? We've waited long enough as you try and infringe on the ground that has been, you know, it has been kept clean and manicured over the years by Adam Schefter, by Chris Mortensen, by Diana Russini. You went for some reason, unspeakable, godforsaken reason.
Why did you go?
I'm guessing it's because he keeps befriending this Tony Khan because he wants to be near AEW wrestling. I'm guessing that that's what's happening there, that he's getting access to skyboxes and all the wrestlers.
I mean, if you're opening the portal, thank you very much, Mr. Khan. It's, you know, great as always, sir. Yeah, my brother-in-law is a Jags fan, and he wanted to go experience the sweet life that Tony Khan provides, and we went to Jags-Titans, which, to my surprise, didn't occur on a Thursday night, and I have expected Blaine Gabbert to somehow start for both teams.
And so what ended up happening there? What did you learn as you reported, as you were doing journalism? You told me that you chased Derrick Henry. There was a point where you were chasing him?
So I wanted to get – everyone in the building kind of knew Derrick Henry was going to run for 50 yards on a play. So I had my Instagram camera out, and I wanted to capture this. And I actually called the right moment. This was a first draft situation, but he's so big and fast that I could not keep up with him. You know, he's just running out of the frame constantly. That guy's big.
I want to put this in front of the audience because it is so strange, Dugatz, to me. When I am witnessing, for example, in Chiefs Dolphins, I am seeing Tyreek Hill and I am saying to myself as I'm watching this, how is it that he is making all of these great athletes look like they're not actually great athletes and looking like we might look trying to tackle some of the other people who are trying to tackle him?
On a field of world-class athletes, he's making them look like us.
I must add that I was pretty close to the Jags sideline for portions of the game, and without a full stadium, everyone socially distanced, you can hear the sounds that come out of players' bodies when Derrick Henry hits them. It scared me from, and I was at a safe distance. Football, tough sport, tough.
Is AJ Brown as big in person? Like, he looks like the biggest wide receiver I've ever seen.
I want to thank you. We'll get back to that in a second. He doesn't look like that. He just looks like he's made out of some sort of metal. But before we get to that, the idea that two of those guys are on the same team and they're at the skill positions, they're not at the big positions. I just want to be clear on. So we sent Mike Ryan to Jacksonville, and he's reporting not only that football is tough, but that Derrick Henry is big and fast. These are the reports that you're bringing us from on the ground in Jacksonville.
Yeah, the Titans do look bigger than other teams they play. That's a strength and conditioning thing.
You know what they say about dogs, right? Take on the personality of their owners. Like, that's what's happening with the Titans, where Vrabel is doing planks all the time. He's giving halftime speeches while doing a plank, and he's also telling his players, I will kill any head coach who comes between me and the title, and I'll sever my penis while doing it. Like, he's already told us that.
No, if he does it, he will cut his penis off. Yes.
That is correct. Yeah. If he wins the Super Bowl.
Also can report, Mike Glennon's neck is like 2 feet long.
Yes, that I always thought that was funny. I always thought it got that way trying to look over offensive lines from childhood. Like, that it didn't originally start that way, but that he became 6'6", and his torso you'll actually find at about Danny DeVito's height.
These are very big people running full speed at each other. It seems like, man, it hurts.
All right, but this is, I cannot believe just how flimsy and useless your reporting is from Jacksonville. But what I wanted to ask you guys is, because I'm thinking maybe Bo Jackson, maybe Earl Campbell. I'm trying to think of a guy, the history of the sport, where he's so big and fast as a running back that that you're legitimately confused when he starts pulling away from a secondary because it doesn't make any sense based on what you know about sports, what you know about physics, what you know about speed, what you know about size.
I got a perfect guy, Jamal Lewis. Because when Jamal Lewis would get into that second level, he'd pull away from people with his 4.4 speed, and you'd be like, what?
But Mike, that was one season where he approached 2,000 yards, and we tend – you can't – how long does Derrick Henry have this in him? Because that job is supposed to – man, look at what happened how quickly to Sean Alexander. Look at what – you cannot do what that guy does across a decade. You've got about 3 years to do that.
Did Christian Okoye have that speed? Because he only did it for a year or two. That's why I'm asking. To your point, he only did it for a year or two.
I am legitimately confused by what I'm seeing when I see Derrick Henry, just his being. Never mind him pulling away from a secondary, which confuses me. Just the idea that that exists in sports, where how the hell is something that size, once it gets ahead of steam, running away from all of these fast, small people. It doesn't make any sense. He's the guy, and he's been doing it now. We discovered all this with the 80-yard screen passes. That was, what, 2 years ago?
This is going to be his second consecutive year where he carries the ball north of 300 times. Before that, he hadn't carried it more than 215. So we're going to see if it has, you know, any sort of effect on him moving forward.
We've talked before about the way Alabama plays football, that those running backs are playing professional football in college, and that squeezes some of the disposable out of them because they're taking such a beating, the Mark Ingrams of the world, when they're already playing, it seems like, professionally in college.
Well, given your breakdown of Derrick Henry being big, strong, and fast, seems like I didn't have to go.
It's pretty useless. I can't think of anything more useless you could have come back from on your reporting than Derrick Henry is big and fast and football is physical and violent.
Although I did start a Gardner Minshew chant and I just left after it.
He did say the Titans are bigger than other teams. I mean,
all right, good coverage, Mike. Good coverage.
It's Stugat's favorite time of the day. At time.
We will get to the Gardner Minshew chant.
Don Lebatard.
A texter writes in, say that name again. I've never heard it struggled out in such a way. Usi Yurmanura?
It's Osi.
Yeah, it's Osi. Okay. I didn't want to correct you because it's rude to do on the air.
Stugatz.
We're sitting here in the middle of a sports show, feeling very comfortable criticizing things, and we don't know anything.
You didn't know Usi was Osi.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the Dan Lebatard Show Nation. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Smokey the Blair at BlairBets8 responds to our Twitter poll of, do we still need to be putting doormats on top of packages that are too big to be hidden by doormats? By tweeting, damn, your show went downhill.
Doormats?
Yeah.
Something happened there in the middle of it.
I don't know what happened.
You happened.
Mini stroke.
As you often do.
Doormats.
So I want to put on the poll here, Gamma, please, at Lebatard Show. Does Derrick Henry challenge every belief you've ever had about speed, size, physics, science, and everything else? We've got Stugatz's weekend observations coming up here in the next hour. We have funniest thing from the sports weekend coming up in the next hour. In the middle of the night last night, buried among football, surprising out of nowhere, the Cleveland, formerly Cleveland Indians, decided never mind about that. The name has changed. We are not doing Indians anymore as the name. It's being reported. So that's interesting that out of nowhere, Stugatz, as corporate America and a whole lot of people who are making these flimsy statements during the uprising of the summer when the pandemic first hit, something unprecedented hit, and all of a sudden we were listening to minorities. The machine has gotten back to work in the normal places, trying to collect itself after listening to minorities for a while. But this dribbled out of nowhere. Because this is something that's been talked about for decades. I've told you before that I remember being outside Twins Braves. Is Atlanta next on this front? Because Twins Braves in a World Series. I remember talking to people, to Native Americans who were protesting the name Braves and the Tomahawk Chop
right
30 years ago. We're not that far removed from Chiefs fans booing unity. Chiefs fans going to be okay with that name being changed? Because they booed Unity. That was something that happened at the start of the football season. Football players weren't making any kind of statement. They were just locking arms and saying, we're united. And Kansas City fans said, no, we don't like you being united. Better to be divided. We boo Unity.
The booing of Unity is funny.
That's what happened.
I know. I know. They had the name for 105 years. It was weird to see them kind of drop it while the NFL was going, because this should be positive and good news. But they kind of dropped
it. Well, it was reported. It's right. not. It wasn't something that they announced.
The reports are they should be announcing shortly them picking a new name. I don't think it's also going to be immediate. They may still play out the season as the Indians and then rebrand.
The Washington football team, did this at least in part because Daniel Snyder was getting slammed from every corner. It wasn't just the streets. He was in the middle of that sexual harassment stuff as well. So Daniel Snyder, who was strident and obnoxious about, I will never change the name of this team, changed the name of the team. But that made sense. Then whoever it was that was defending the sanctity of the name Indians for Cleveland had to have thought before yesterday's report, wait a minute, did we get away with it? Are we going to skate? The pressure is softer now. There's no more screaming in the streets. Are we going to, do we have to do this? We could just keep our merch the way that it is. We can hold on to tradition, even if it's racist. And who's next? Are we going Braves Chiefs next? Are we going after the people who booed Unity through not wearing masks, standing in a stadium they shouldn't have been in, booing Unity?
Have people railed against those two teams, the Braves and the Chiefs, the way they did against?
Once you get to Indians, Stugatz, once you get to
you're
their...
You're everywhere, yes.
Yes, because the Washington football team was a racial slur. Indians was kind of in the middle because we've changed that to Native Americans. You watch old movies, you'll see Asian-made Oriental in a way that you'll flinch on because that's not what we do anymore. But Indians, I thought, was close to being grandfathered in, literally. Your racist grandfather who was okay with it. I thought that that was going to get grandfathered in, but it's gone now, too. So how far is this line going to keep moving? Because, again, I will not allow people to forget this. Chiefs fans, your champion football team in America's most popular sport, booed the idea of unity in states alleged to be united.
It could be that the Blackhawks are next because they have a logo that some might find insensitive.
Roy, it's always confusing to me when this is the area of your expertise. I'm sorry. I've got to change my viewpoints in 2020. I've got to be better about this. Every damn time you talk hockey, it is totally disorienting to me.